On a Monday, it's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Learning about alcohol concerns in our state prisons. At a state corrections department meeting earlier this year, the agency's top official raised questions about the amount of drinking and driving by prison workers and how often staff were coming to work intoxicated. Department leaders wanted to better understand how often these problems were happening and what could be done about them. WPR learned of the concerns recently for documents obtained under open records laws. You can join in. Are you a current or former corrections worker? What do you think people should know about the demands of your job? Are you recovering from alcoholism or another addiction? What types of resources do you think would help the corrections department address staff alcohol issues? Join in at 800-642-1234. Kevin Carr is secretary designee at the Wisconsin Department of Corrections. Secretary Carr, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me, Kate. Good morning.
So back in February, you were trying to gauge the scope of alcohol-related problems among corrections workers. What have you learned since then?
Well, you know, at a warden's meeting back in February, I voiced my concern based on just the short time that I had been there in reviewing employee personnel matters, that there were a number of OWI arrests involving our correctional staff. And having been in law enforcement for 39 years, with 30 years of that at the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office, I was concerned about staff wellness and for our employees and what the number of OWI arrests seemed to suggest about the level of stress and the number of hours that our employees were working in our facilities.
So what numbers were you finding? How often are workers drinking and driving or coming to work intoxicated?
Well, you know, the numbers seemed to suggest that in 2017 and 2018, we averaged about 20 OWI arrest cases a year at DOC. And the year-to-date numbers right now are trending in the wrong direction. In 2017, year-to-date, we had 9, and in 18, we had 11, and now in 2019, we have 13 OWI cases year-to-date. And these cases stem from line officers up to command staff officers.
So how bad is this issue? Are people being routinely caught drinking on the job? Does that happen?
Not really.
Okay.
In fact, that was probably a misstatement. I'm not that much aware of that occurring on a routine basis, but it's more so after hours drinking and driving. You know, our staff have some of the most stressful jobs and work in difficult situations. They experience trauma regularly, which can be difficult to deal with and process. You know, and they're also tasked with working a lot of long hours and overtime. But we're working to fix that problem by the development of a new recruitment and retention program that we hope will help us fill some of our many vacancies.
We're talking with Department of Corrections Secretary Kevin Carr discussing how his agency is addressing staff alcohol issues, OWI issues. What questions do you have for the secretary? Are you a corrections worker or a concerned citizen? What do you think the secretary should hear? Call in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Secretary Carr, WPR, we've reported extensively this year on Wisconsin's complicated relationship with alcohol. We love beer, celebrate life with it, but also really shining a light on the deadly problems like drunk driving. Do you worry about there being a culture of tolerance with alcohol in your department?
Well, I don't necessarily view it that way. I just view it as potential problem that we should certainly recognize and help our employees as much as we can because we really believe in employee wellness. DOC has many resources in place to help staff through trauma and to support them in their professional and personal lives through our employee assistant program. We also have a program that we use called Peer Supporters, which started back in the 1990s but has continued to grow since then. And the program has been utilized numerous times depending on what's going on in a person's personal or professional life.
The dangers of drinking and driving are well known. What are your main concerns with staff being intoxicated on the job? What can go wrong?
Well, of course, as I said earlier, I don't view that as the major issue here. I'm not aware of that many instances of people actually being intoxicated at work. But obviously, if that did happen, their judgment is impaired, their ability to perform their duties is compromised. There's a number of issues where that is just obviously not a desirable situation.
How are corrections staff officers disciplined for this type of misconduct? You can see it in their history, in their file, but at what point do you have to let your employees go, actually fire them?
Well, you know, the current disciplinary system is pretty much governed by state law and administrative rule. And here at the state of Wisconsin, they employ a concept which is, you know, commonly applied around the country and public employees called progressive discipline. And you have to stay within the confines of the progressive discipline matrix in order to ultimately relieve somebody of their employment. At the state currently, you can give a person a letter of expectation, then a one-day suspension, a three-day suspension, then a five-day suspension, you know, for what would be a third or fourth offense. And then that person could be removed from employment. If a person engages in some conduct that is extremely egregious, you know, of course, you can skip those progressive steps and go to relieving a person of their employment. But all of those things that I just said about progressive discipline and suspensions is secondary to the overall desire to help our employees work through their issues and maintain their employment and their careers. That is our primary objective.
You mentioned concerns about stress. What have you learned about what's causing this, the cause of workers drinking?
Well, you know, what I'm hearing from line officers in the emails and phone calls that I get from them every week is, you know, working the long hours, working in an environment in prison where, you know, you are always on guard and watching your safety and the safety of your fellow officers, you know, from the moment that you walk in the door until the time you walk out at night, and then sometimes worrying about encountering subjects that you may have supervised in custody in your community. Those are all factors that cause a lot of stress and concern for our officers. And you know, in addition to the fact that they're working, you know, several 16-hour shifts a week, not being compensated fairly.
There's a whole list of issues. We're learning about alcohol issues in Wisconsin's Department of Corrections. Agency's top official, Kevin Carr, is with us to talk about how his agency is addressing staff coming to work under the influence. What questions are on your mind? Have you seen alcohol issues in your own workplace? We're at 800-642-1234. The State Capitol Report continues in just a minute on the Ideas Network. On a Monday, it's a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you have a line to Corrections Secretary-designee Kevin Carr as we talk about his agency's response to concerns over alcohol use by prison workers. WPR learned of the concerns recently from documents obtained under open records laws. What is on your mind about this? Are you recovering from alcoholism or other addictions? What types of resources do you think are helpful? And how much leeway should the corrections department allow workers? Join in at 800-642-1234. And Secretary Carr stays with us for this conversation. Let's go to the phones now with Paul joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Paul.
Hello, how are you?
Doing well. What's on your mind about this?
I was a correctional officer, and then I became a probation parole agent, and I worked in Milwaukee, and it was a very stressful environment. I ended up drinking to cover up all that stress, and there was other stressors in my life, and I ended up getting a drunk driving. I left the department because of it. I probably could have fought it through the union and kept my job, but I was so stressed out, and I didn't feel supported by management at the time. I felt like they weren't there to help me get through these issues. They were there to do their job, investigate it, and punish me for my behavior. And of course, everybody looks at the behavior of alcohol-related issues, but nobody looks at it's hard to look at the underlying issue and separate the behavior from the issues that are causing the behavior.
Paul, thank you for the call. Secretary, Paul didn't feel supported. How does the agency monitor for stress or burnout?
Well, you know, our staff are our greatest asset. And, you know, our staff's dedicated to helping those in our care and protect our communities. And we can't stress how grateful we are to have them and want to be sure that we support them in any way that we can. And under Governor Evers' leadership, there's a reclaimed effort to lift up state employees to show them how much we appreciate them and acknowledge how much they do for their communities. With that being said, you know, we have several programs, like I said, the peer supporters, the employee assistance program, and we ask our frontline supervisors to, you know, who have daily contact with our line staff to, you know, work with them and observe, you know, their employees in order to determine, you know, if there's any changes in behavior. Is there, you know, are they starting to call in sick a lot? Are they starting to be tardy a lot? Are they having job performance issues that might indicate that there's some other issue that's driving those changes in work behavior?
Let's take another call now. Brad is joining us from Columbus. Hi, Brad.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm happy to hear the comments from our new corrections leader that they're going forward with taking care of our employees. And to me, the whole problem is our legislative decisions in the past of, first of all, making too many laws and incarcerating people too long and not backing it up with the staff to handle that. And in addition to taking care of the staff, finding ways to help the prisoners. I mean, there's, you know, that's basically it.
Brad, thanks for the call. What is being done along those lines of recidivism? And could that be impacting the corrections officers in terms of, you know, having to work overtime just to keep up with the demands of the job?
Well, currently, if I understand Brad's question correctly, it's more about providing services to the inmates than it is for, or the people that we care for in our institutions, as it is for our employees. But what I can tell you is that currently we have over 700 vacancies here at the Department of Corrections, and we're working to try to fill those vacancies by the creation of a new recruitment and retention plan that I mentioned earlier. Now, those vacancies drive overtime use, and when employees work a lot of overtime, they are under additional stress and physical toil, and those things can lead to the stressors that cause people to engage in behaviors that are not exactly in their best interest, like excessive alcohol use. And that's why We provide peer supports that can, you know, peer supporters who are working. These are coworkers that are working alongside these individuals who can walk up to an individual and say, hey, Joe or Susie, you know, I've noticed that, you know, you've been behaving a little bit differently. You know, what's going on? Is there something that I can help you with? And those are the types of resources and observations that need to be made in order for us to be in the position to provide assistance to our people as needed.
So, you have hundreds of vacancies. What is this new recruitment and retention plan? Can you tell us more about what you're changing in that area?
Well, we are still in development. We are ready to roll this thing out probably in the next month or two, but we're going to be using a different strategy as far as communicating with the public as to what a great career corrections can be and how, you know, what the benefits are of serving your community and working for the state of Wisconsin. There's a lot of positive aspects to working in corrections that people don't know about. Hopefully, under the governor's leadership, the pay structure is going to get better as we move on, and it's going to be a very desirable job for people in the future. So, I hope to tell you more about that plan once it's finalized.
We're talking with Department of Corrections Secretary Kevin Carr. He's with us to discuss staffing issues and the state budget. What questions or comments do you want to share with the secretary? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Secretary, the state legislature is considering a 14% raise for corrections workers as part of this year's state budget. Would that be enough to address pay concerns?
One of the first things that I did in January when I was appointed to this position was ask for a staffing pay study to compare the starting rate of correctional officers in our surrounding states with what our current correctional officers were getting. Our current correctional officers are making about $16.62, I think, an hour. And in the surrounding states, the average is between $21 and $22 an hour. Now, the raise that's being proposed in the budget, should the governor approve the budget, and I have no idea what the governor is going to do at this point, is a step in the right direction. We did not get in the situation that we're in with such a wide pay gap overnight, and we're not going to get out of it overnight. If I had a magic wand and bags of money laying around, I would get every single one of our employees, not only correctional, but nursing, doctors, psychologists, psychiatrists, everybody that works in DLC up to the same wage that they deserve based on a comparable position in the private sector. But it's fiscally not possible. So we have to do it incrementally. So we are taking steps in the right direction, depending on what happens with the budget. And
is there anything in the budget that you are urging Governor Evers to veto?
Well, those discussions have taken place, but I'm not at liberty to disclose what those discussions have been.
And with our limited time left, can you give us an update on the status of Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake, the state's juvenile prisons in northern Wisconsin? What is the best solution for these facilities, and how does the state ultimately get there?
Well, the best solution, I think, is to ultimately build the new Type 1 facilities in Milwaukee and Hortonia, as the governor has suggested. And I can certainly tell you that, under the court order monitor, there will be a monitor's report coming out soon that I hope is going to suggest that we are making significant progress up at Lincoln Hills insofar as the environment and the requirements of the consent decree that the Department of Corrections is under regarding the operation at Lincoln Hills. So we're making progress, and we're not making as much progress as we all would like. We would all love that every single aspect of the consent decree was totally compliant, and that we were, you know, that there was absolutely no issues. But as I've found since I've been here at DOC, there are issues everywhere, and we're constantly engaged in process and operational improvement every day to try to get better.
Secretary Carr, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Glad to be with you.
Kevin Carr is Secretary Designee for the Wisconsin Department of Corrections. And the State Capitol Report continues with the discussion around step therapy. That's after this news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.